On today's program, I have two special guests joining me representing two great events coming up here in the Indianapolis area. Kathy Sparnens, who's executive producer of a great film that's going to be shown on November 2nd, and Andrew Monteith, the new general manager at Georgetown Market. I'm Richard Brendan, and the conversations begin now. Hey, welcome to the program. I'm excited about a film coming to Indianapolis on Friday, November 2nd. It's going to be at St. Luke's United Methodist Church, which is located on 86th Street, right off of Meridian. It's an award-winning documentary titled Voices of Grief. And if you have lost a loved one, lost an animal companion, still struggling through that, this would be an evening you want to attend. The event is free. The film is amazing. It features a lot of wonderful experts that I have followed throughout the years. And I'm excited to have the executive producer of the film with me today. Kathy Sparnens, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much.
You're joining me today because on Friday, November 2nd, here at Indianapolis at St. Luke's Methodist Church, there's going to be a special film screening of Voices of Grief, in which you are executive producer of. I'm most excited about the topic, first of all, and let's kind of dive into this film that you helped create. First of all, what would be the overview of what this film is about?
Well, the overview of the film is that, you know, our whole goal, my goal in creating this film is to have some kind of tools to help people kind of navigate their journey of grief and mourning while they're in the midst of our culture that is pretty death and grief avoidant. Mm-hmm. So my idea when I decided to do the film was to bring together some real stories and bring some basic experts in to give a blessing to the process of what's really real around grief and mourning.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're interested in this topic because of your background, so share a little bit about your background for our listeners.
Well, probably the seed of doing this film and my interest can go back to even 1975 when my youngest sister at the time was just turning 15, and she and her friends were just riding around in town. At the time, they were living in Oklahoma City, and they picked up this young man, and they were, you know, just kind of joyriding before they had to go to their little jobs. Mm-hmm. At Pizza Hut, and mm-hmm. this young man got behind the wheel and took off so fast that he ran into a tree and killed both my sister and her other friend. And sadly for everyone, he actually lived. So it was just a tragedy, and certainly the only one of my very first introductions to something so tragic in mm-hmm. my own life. Mm-hmm. So, kind of fast forward, I think in my belief system, it's sort of like when we go through some really tough stuff in our lives, and I think there's a part of us that as we live through it, the hope is we at some point can reconcile that tragedy and turn it into something that becomes helpful, that we're given that gift of, okay, now this has happened, what are you going to do about it, and how can you maybe give back to others? So I've been a grief educator for hospice now for about the last 15 years.
They're in Colorado.
So, here in Colorado. Uh-huh. And I might just add that I was actually born and raised in Indianapolis and did all of my grade school and high school years there in Indianapolis. So it's really exciting for me to come back to share this film on my old home turf.
When was the last time that you've been to Indianapolis?
Oh, probably about 12 years ago. I came back for a reunion with my cousins that I mm-hmm. love and adore, mm-hmm, and they mm-hmm. all have six cousins, and five of them actually live in Indianapolis. Plus, I've got a dear friend, Linda Quizer Thomas, that I went to high school with, and then Ginger Kern, who I was a grade school and high school friendship there. So it's very, very wonderful to come back. And my hope is that, actually, my hope is just that, to share this with as many people as we can fit into St. Luke's that night.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the title kind of really says it all, Voices of Grief. And you have a lot of powerful voices in terms of experts on the program. David Kessler, who's very well known in his work and the work he did with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, actually an old high school friend of mine, Ellen Wolfelt, Dr. Ellen Wolfelt, is on there. I believe Marianne Williamson also. Is on there, and Rabbi Harold Kushner. How did this project get started? Because having been involved with a few TV projects with our local PBS affiliate here, WFYI, it usually starts with that vision, and then just it starts taking a life of its own. Is that kind of how this developed?
It really does feel that way, Richard. I certainly had a place in my heart for people in grief from my own personal experience, but then to be a grief educator in hospice and witness some very sacred stories about, you know, people's experience with a great loss. And I just was very touched with how often I'd have people come in to give me the major story of their love of their life and then apologize for crying. And I just thought, you know, something's really wrong with what we're doing here. And as whatever you want to say, synchronistic, spirit, whatever calls to our hearts at times when we get inspired, I had been reading another book about, you know, what are some of the powerful ways that change occur, you know, that they will occur in the world. And part of it is somebody writing a good book. But, you know, film is a very powerful tool for encouraging something to change and for getting the word out there. And so we have a wonderful women's film festival here in Colorado Springs, where I'm living now. And watching those films every year was an inspiration. It's like, you know, I saw films help make social change. So I decided I wanted to do that, even though that's not any place I have experience with. But again, synchronistic, God, whatever you want to call it, I found a filmmaker who happens to be my next door neighbor, who actually has been working for the last 20 plus years with Tony Robbins, the big self-help guru. And so she's been doing production work. She had wanted to do a documentary too, and when I took her to coffee, that's where it got sealed. We said, okay, let's do this. So it took about 8 years to figure out who we wanted to interview, and I picked people that I had been inspired by myself, and I had actually have trained under Dr. Alan Wolfelt, but have taken the words and mentoring from each of the teachers I have in the film. And what's so great is that every person I called, and I literally sat down at the phone and called and emailed, and honestly, to a person, they all said yes. I mean, I did get a couple of no's. I really wanted Anne Lamott in this film, but he was busy, and Brene Brown was busy with another book. But I feel like we really have some of the most renowned voices around grief that I think when we're learning something new, we need some kind of blessing. And I use that word as just how it sounds. And yes, this is what's really different now. We are changing and hoping to encourage a change in people's perception. So instead of being fearful of grief or ashamed of grief, part of it is our film is there to encourage us to honor that this is a sacred process, and it's And it's a process that we're all going to walk in one day.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just not prepared. You know, we may have had a death in our life, but it maybe wasn't the death.
Right.
And so when we finally are confronted with the excruciating death and loss, we're just not prepared for it. And I just wanted to do just, you know, it's called, you know, basically the ripple effect. I'm not trying to be grandiose. It's, I think all of us want to see and be more encouraging of folks in the world if we've ever gone through any hurt or pain in our own lives.
Yeah. Well, the reason why it's happening here, Lane Voci, of course, who is well-known here in the Indianapolis area and does a lot of work in death and dying, wanted to help sponsor that. But part of this organization behind this film, Voices of Grief, is offering film-based grief education through a Voices of Grief community screenings and discussions to try to... It's almost like death cafes. You bring people together, they watch this, and then you facilitate conversation in hopes of healing and in hopes that there are people there are because they haven't learned how to grieve, and this will open up their hearts to do that.
Exactly. And Elaine is just a shining star in my life right now. I met her in June at another conference and just have so much love and respect for her and love that she wanted to bring together community at this time. It's, you know, one of the things I've learned is that grief is actually meant to be done in community. It's not meant to be done sitting in the dark in our own living room by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of why we did decide to do an educational format associated with our film, because, you know, people can get a DVD and go sit at home with it, but our idea is to see this film and all of the materials that go with it to help people set up community screenings and just have conversation with one another.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the other things you're offering to actually all hospices in the United States and Canada, complimentary streaming access to the film and discussion materials for in-house use by hospice staff and volunteers and even client families. I'm bringing that up because it's important to also share with our listeners that Voices of Grief is under a fiscal sponsor from the Heart Productions, and that's important to bring up because you are looking for funding for this film, because one of the offerings that you want to provide to hospices in the United States and Canada is complimentary streaming access to the film and discussion materials for in-house use by hospice staff, volunteers, and client families. So this is a passion that you're getting out there as compared to Hollywood film, where it's all about the bucks and making the money. And you want it to be a tool used in so many ways possible. So I'm sure you're still offering or accepting donations to come in to help fund the project. Is that right?
Yes, we certainly are. Our idea is just to get this film out there as many places as possible. Mm-hmm. And so the complimentary streaming to hospice is one of the ways we hope to accomplish that. But people can go on our website and look, because, of course, we also have educational packages that we're selling to just help basically cover the costs of getting the film streamlined out there to hospice and other places. So, yes, there's always room for a donation. We're really looking, actually, for foundations or a philanthropic group to look at our film and perhaps buy it and give it away. We'd love to give it to everybody.
Absolutely.
But yes, it takes money to do all this.
What is the website?
www.voicesofgrief.org. Mm-hmm. And you can explore the website there. There are testimonials. There is a page for purchase on how to purchase the educational materials and that kind of thing. So I just invite people to look that over and see if they want to learn a little more about the film, if they're not able to come on November 2nd. And you'll see that we have a way for people to email us as well. So I'm always open to just talking to people on the phone about how to use the film and if we might travel to come help them set up a community screening.
Now, on November 2nd at St. Luke's United Methodist Church, which is on 86th Street, again, it's going to be from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Do you have additional information? For example, is there a cost for people to come to this? Or can they just come and perhaps make a donation?
You know, we're just inviting people to come to that gathering.
Okay, okay.
But we're not charging. We would love for them to RSVP, mm-hmm. and I will make that phone number available to people. Basically, we'd love for them to RSVP to Elaine Voce.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I have... Yeah, because, her phone number. Would you like me to give that to you?
Yeah, share Elaine's phone number, please.
Yeah, so it's area code 317-730-5481.
And again, for more information, too, they can go to your website, voicesofgrief.org. You mentioned about how it's hard still for people in this day and time with access to so much information and teaching on grief that it's still hard to do. Do you find also, and especially out where you live in Colorado, that people are also still not wanting to talk about death, just in general?
I do find that our culture still is wanting to remain fairly stoic about everything that has to do with anything that's painful or anything to do with loss. Certainly grief applies to so many other things in our lives. You know, we lose jobs, we have divorces, we may have lost our home. So grief is there in many forms, and the grief of death, I think, is the final crescendo that we all face. And yet we have been taught over a period of years and years, even through our own spiritual beliefs, to be strong, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to stiff upper lip and get over it. And truly, the true spiritual path my spiritual path and what I've been learning from some of these wonderful teachers is, you know, we really do have a forgiving presence in our life, however mm-hmm. you call that mm-hmm. in your own faith journey, and a loving presence. And, you know, it's a natural process to mourn the loss of someone we love, and instead of, again, feeling the shame of not wanting to talk about it,
right.
Part of what we're encouraging is to, you know, let's change perspective. This is an honoring to remember.
Well, and I would even add, though, having seen this film, because the older we get, the more we lose. And that
right.
just is the law of impermanence. We lose loved ones. We lose
right.
cherished dreams. We lose physical strength. We lose work. We lose relationships. And so
right.
it often seems like loss upon loss happens to us. So the thing that I'm passionate about grief is there's always going to be some kind of a loss, whether it be death or something else. And you're right. People don't like the feeling of that. And so we numb ourselves out, which is probably why we watch way too much TV or we do too many other things in terms of getting in touch with that. And I've discovered in my life, teaching a lot on death awareness, that this awareness of death thing is like a worldwide movement, which I'm gratified by. And I'd like to think in time it'll also help with the grieving, because as people finally get in touch
yes.
with the fact that, hey, you know what? I'm going to die. And not try to like block it out. And oh, you can't talk about death. Not here. We'll talk about everything else but death. But embrace it, as the Buddhists, I think, have done a beautiful job of teaching, more than any other religion.
Yeah.
That as you do that, it just naturally gives you more of a sense of freedom. It gives you more boldness. You start walking more lightly on the earth. You start taking your hands off the steering wheel of life. You start embracing impermanence. And so then when something happens, loss of death of a loved one, or a loss of any other kind, it still hurts. You'll still need to get in touch with those feelings and express them. But maybe this time it's not quite the shock that it still seems to be with so many people. Because in the hospice work that I do, I'm still floored by people who freak out because 99-year-old grandpa died. And it's like, okay, he's 99. He's on hospice. He wanted to die. Right. I don't share this with them, but in my head, most hospice workers do. It's like, what part of this did you not understand? So we're just not taking the time. And so again, here in Indianapolis at this film screening on Friday at November 2nd, the beautiful opportunity people have is to watch something like this. It'll open up some memories for everybody there because we've all lost a loved one. And then there'll be some guided conversation, and that can be very, very healing for a lot of people. So I really encourage those of you who are listening and live in the Indianapolis area to show up on November 2nd at St. Luke's United Methodist Church on 86th Street off of Meridian, and be a part of this. It starts at 7, it'll end at 9, and it's going to be a beautiful event, and hey, it's free. So what a great time to spend on a Friday night, but to talk about a topic that we all will have to address, every one of us.
Exactly. And instead of having fear around this whole subject, you know, part of the encouragement is to encourage more connection and compassion, to see death as more a part of the tapestry of our whole lives.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So what would you say to somebody who's lost someone right now? Or maybe, I'll tell you, maybe they lost an animal companion, because for most people, including me, that's like a child as well. Based on your experience personally, but also your experience in hospice and in grief and bereavement, what advice might you have for some people who are tuning in right now who have lost someone, and they haven't thought about contacting somebody to talk about this?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd say is I am deeply saddened to hear about your loss, and I appreciate you listening to this program and knowing that you're likely tuning in because you've had some healing words coming from Reverend Richard before. And so if you think this is something that that you think might touch your heart, I would love to invite you to be with us to watch this film together with one another in a safe space. And, you know, invite somebody to be your arm of support that surrounds you as you come to this event, and just know that you're probably going to be looking in the eyes of another person who may not know your exact path, but will have some sense of the depth of this journey.
Yeah. So this grief documentary titled Voices of Grief, once again, will be airing here in Indianapolis at St. Luke's Methodist Church on 86th Street, right off of Meridian, on Friday, November 2nd. And the time will be from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It'll be in Fellowship Hall. The event is free, and what a beautiful opportunity for a community of people. One of the Ram Dass quotes that I love the most, he says, we're just walking each other home, and we really are. The one thing we all have in common is death. Death is the most democratic thing on the face of the earth. So we all ought to be there for grief and helping one another grieve and bearing one another's burdens. And we certainly talk about that in the church, but often don't practice it. Friday night, November 2nd, would be a great opportunity to practice it, especially with people like you there, Kathy, and Elaine Voce and others who can act as a guide, or the term that Alan Wolfelt coined that I still love, companion, alongside someone. So this is a wonderful opportunity. And again, for more information on this film, people can go to voicesofgrief.org. in Kathy Sparnans. It's been a joy to have you on the program. I do look forward to meeting you, and I'm looking forward to seeing this film as well, with a room full of brothers and sisters talking about something that we all have in common. How cool is that?
How cool is that? And, you know, as we have our time come to a close, one of the things, one of the great quotes, too, from a great teacher, Stephen Levine, and he talks about grief being a consequence of love.
Yeah.
And doesn't that make it different to think about?
That's so true. Yeah, because when we grieve, it means we've lost someone worth grieving.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful idea to help us more in honoring the process. But you've said so much about this already that it's worth remembering. You know, I'm glad we're going to be in a church. It's a church that's not going to be proselytizing. It's a church that understands community and helping people honor their own faith path.
Absolutely.
We need one another more than ever.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a good point to make, because even though it's at a church, those of us in Indianapolis know St. Luke's United Methodist is a very interfaith type church. It hosts a lot of different groups and a lot of different religions also in there. So it is a very safe place that way, too. So nobody's going to be shoving a track in your face and
right.
trying to lay anything heavy on you. This is going to be... And St. Luke's also serves that way, especially through their Spiritual Life Center. It's going to be a healing time. It's going to be a healing room. And that I'm looking forward to, just to experience that energy. So I think that's going to be a great thing on Friday, November 2nd at St. Luke's United Methodist Church. And Kathy Sparnans, his executive producer, had this bold vision. And boy, isn't it cool that when a vision is birthed within you and you start seeing it unfold, and now you're wanting to share it with the world, that's an exciting time.
It is. It's an exciting time. And I'm just so grateful for your presence in the world and for what you're doing on your program. Hmm. And to St. Luke's as well, just having a very ecumenical voice in the midst of this important journey.
Yeah, yeah. Kathy Sparnans, thank you so much for sharing your time with us, and we look forward to seeing you coming up on November 2nd.
Oh, thank you so much, Richard.
Once again, if you'd like more information on this great award-winning documentary, the web address is voicesofgrief.org. And again, it'll be shown here in Indianapolis Friday, November 2nd from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. in Fellowship Hall at St. Luke's Methodist Church. The event is free.